Thrones, big fella.
Yup. If one more label try to stop me, it's gonna be some dreadhead niggas in your lobby.
No problem with me. That's Chance the Rapper. I love that album. Have you guys heard it? Have you heard it?
Yes, I love it too.
It's amazing. DJ Khaled just came out with a new album too.
Yes, they did.
And then so did Fantasia. She had a couple of songs on there too that you should check out if you haven't heard it. Thanks for joining Black Twitter Talk. Today on Black Twitter Talk, we are talking Michelle Obama at the DNC convention. Mothers of the Movement was also there and took center stage. Baltimore prosecutor Marilyn Mosby speaks out about why the Freddie Gray case failed. And then we're also talking Bow Wow. He said he isn't black.
Bye-bye.
Arthur the Aardvark memes go viral, and we're celebrating the extraordinary accomplishments of black women through the trending hashtag Black Women Did That. I am your host, Angie Skates. You can find me on Twitter at Angie_Skates.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kelly. You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at TheUrbanGypsyLA.
All right, girl. Now let's get into it. Democratic National Convention.
Mm-hmm.
Not usually something that I'm very invested in. However, it was a good look this year.
Yeah, overall, the convention was really, they had some really compelling speeches this time.
Michelle Obama being one of them, one of the major highlights of the convention for me.
Girl, Michelle Obama gives me life, birth, death, and then reincarnation every time she speaks, you guys.
Like, well, does she give you all of that?
Yes.
Okay.
This time, my favorite part of her speech was when she said, whoever we vote for will be responsible for teaching our children for the next 4 to 8 years. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she is so right.
She's so right. And I don't have children, but nor am I a wife, but she did give her speech from a perspective of a wife and a mother that just made her believable and made her relatable and made her it was honest.
It was. And I think even with that point, it doesn't even matter if you have children. At the end of the day, we're all learning beings throughout our lives. So I think it made me realize when the Obamas were in the White House, overall as a community, although we've dealt with a lot of police brutality and criminal justice issues, we've grown a lot as a whole. Like, we went from calling each other NIGs for the longest to more so referring to each other as godly and kings and queens, when previously that was reserved for like one group of
people. Holy Hotep hell.
If you guys aren't Twitter, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Hotep community.
But they do that king queen stuff a lot.
And they can become misogynistic
and
too.
And ashy. They're ashy too.
Ashy Hotep people. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that it expanded and further into the community where we just, our self-worth has increased like dramatically since they've been in the White House.
Representation is everything. When you see a woman like Michelle Obama, as eloquent, as classy as she is, as articulate as she is, in a position of power like that, you can't help but to melt and to ooze and to get excited.
Definitely. I feel like it affects you both on the surface and subconsciously. Like, certain things start to get ignited in you. You feel like, you know what? I can do this. Whatever this is for you, you go and you do it. Because Michelle Obama, She did that.
Okay. I think one of the things that stood out to me that she said is that she trusts Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I don't trust Hillary Clinton, but I trust Michelle Obama. So I guess if Michelle says she okay, I'm with her.
I don't trust Hillary either, but I feel like we all know democracy, it ain't really a democracy. It's always been for us, at least since I've been born, choosing the lesser of two evils. Like,
absolutely.
That's what you always hear.
Absolutely.
So, definitely out of the two, Hillary is for sure the lesser of the, like, hands down. We don't got to vote about that. We already know Hillary above all in this case. And then the other thing she mentioned was, like, do you realize we have the opportunity to vote a woman into this position?
That's huge.
That is huge.
That is everything.
Imagine what that's going to do for us, just like having the Obamas in there, like having a woman in that position.
Imagine Michelle Obama in that position, though. Can you see it?
Girl, I can't.
I can see
it. But I don't think she would do it because of her kids. I think it wouldn't you know, it just wouldn't be the smartest thing. I think she's focused on being a mother now, and I think, you know, all that spotlight on the kids is too much.
Another thing that caught a lot of backlash or was interesting that Michelle Obama said was that I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves, which is true. It's factually true.
Can we have a moment of silence for that? That is the realest thing ever.
Bill O'Reilly, who's a Fox News pundit,
I mean, we already know Fox is known to be, you know, stupid.
Yeah. But Shonda Rhimes tweeted out about it, and so did Questlove, to give shape to our own narrative about our understanding, our factual understanding of what our...
Well, what did he say?
Bill, he said he's not... What did he say? He said... I don't know what he said.
I think he said, like, basically, yeah, you guys, the slaves built the house, but you guys were well-fed.
Yeah, weren't treated so bad.
You guys had a place to live.
So, Bill O'Reilly, you do realize that slavery was not a smiling, happy party. Like, it's not enough that we were kidnapped, we were raped, we were robbed, we were forced apart from our families, we were locked in the bowels of a floating shit house, and we watched our loved ones be eaten away by plague and insanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think about it all the time, and I wonder just exactly what in the hell is enough. Enough is enough, Bill. You need to cut it.
Cut it. Yes. And I think after the response, after like Shonda and a lot of people started going in on him, he was like, I'm just stating facts. And whoever wants to go against the facts, you guys are beneath contempt. But bruh, you forgot all the other facts. You forgot everything Angie just said. Like, about the rape? What about the separation from our families? Are we're only going to talk about how we were well fed? Really, Bill?
Anyway, mothers of the movement. I'm not even sure who coined that term, and I'm not really sure how I feel about it.
Yeah, Zora Neale Hustlin on Twitter.
That's a tight
Twitter name. She was saying, am I the only one uncomfortable with branding these women as the mothers of the movement? Or better yet, branding them at period.
I feel her, too. I mean, it rolls off the tongue very easily in a setting like this, but it does kind of feel like we're minimizing the struggle and the pain and everything that they went through.
But it was great having them on there. That was like I a needed chilling that. Moment.
It was one of the most compelling moments of the Democratic National Convention this year. I felt real well represented, and I've never felt like that on a platform like that ever before. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect to get caught up in my feels, but Sandra Bland's mother, Geneva Reed-Ville, she got to me. Sandra Bland, when I first heard about this case a year ago, when I first heard about her murder, it touched me in a special way because I've had my own incidences with the police during traffic stops that are supposedly routine, and they're not so routine.
Right.
I've been pulled out of the car at gunpoint. I have been, you know, handcuffed and thrown into the back of a squad car while the officers destroy the interior of my Honda Accord, which was my first car. It was my graduation gift from high school, and they destroyed the interior of the car. I remember one time, California Highway Patrol, it was late one night, and I was coming home from a club or a party or something, and it was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and he comes up to my window, and I remember being scared because he's rubbing his crotch, and he's aroused, and he calls me a soft-spoken nigga.
And I
was just in that moment, one decision away from being Sandra Bland, being taken into custody, being murdered in custody. Mm-hmm. So I feel really close to her. And I feel like I am Sandra Bland. And I feel like Sandra Bland's mama is my mama. Right. So it was a very compelling moment for me.
It was definitely a compelling moment. Sandra Bland's mother, Geneva Reed-Ville, she read six of the girls or six other women who were...
murdered in police custody.
Police custody the same month as Sandra Bland. And I just want to say their names because, you know, I think that just even from hearing your story, and I've heard it multiple times, and every time I hear it, I feel like it touches me in a different way. I think a lot of us are dealing with that as women, too, and we focus a lot on the men, and we forget about the women in the movement. So I'm going to say their names. We have Kendra Chapman, Alexis McGovern, Sarah Lee Circlebear, Rainita Turner, Rakina Jones, and Joyce Colonel, who were all also killed during while they were in police custody that same month that Sandra Bland died. So let's not keep saying our men are being hunted. Ladies, we're being hunted too. So you be out there, you be careful, you look out for each other, you make sure you have your cell phone on full battery when you out there alone, okay?
And I'm grateful that we've opened up the dialogue, because prior to Sandra Bland and other cases like it, I never felt comfortable sharing and talking openly or publicly about my story.
Yeah, you would think you were the only one who dealt with it, because who wants to talk about that? That's an uncomfortable talk to have.
And there's so many of us. It is, but there's so many of us. And I felt through the sense of sisterhood in us sharing the stories, I kind of got a piece of healing from that.
Right. Seeing and them up there. Yeah. It's
important. Mm-hmm. What was interesting to me, though, was that Tamir Rice's mother was not there.
Right.
And she is a mother of one of the, you know, that her son's killing was very highly, it was a high profile killing.
Right.
And I think that she declined to endorse any candidate. And some of the things that she had said about it is that none of the candidates are speaking her language. And she's even been critical of President Obama, saying that he talks about it a little bit, but we need more than a little bit of talk. Mm-hmm. We need a lot of bit of talk. We need to not only talk about the reform of or talk about police brutality, but we need to talk about reform of police policies. There's a lot of things that she's not happy about with either candidate, and that's why I think that she elected to not be a part of it.
Which is understandable, but something that the other moms did mention is that Hillary is at least not afraid to say Black Lives Matter. Why she's saying it, obviously she wants our vote, but at least she's saying it, and at least she has some common sense as far as what it feels like to be a mother and to lose your child, you know?
Absolutely.
But
let's talk about prosecutor in Baltimore, Marilyn Mosby.
Let's talk about it, y'all.
She is a young Black woman. She's 36. Mm-hmm. She's a Capricorn like me.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she is.
No wonder.
I know. She's from Boston, and she is the state attorney on the Freddie Gray case. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know that three of the six cops that were indicted, I was surprised that they were indicted until I saw the attorney bringing the charges, which made sense. But three of the six people were officers were acquitted. Mm-hmm. So the other three officers, the state dropped the charges. Mm-hmm. But Marilyn spoke out very passionately about why her case fell apart.
She said her team had been physically and professionally threatened, mocked, harassed, and even sued while pursuing this case. But they kept going. They didn't stop because of
that. At all. Not one time did she stop. And she said also that they realized very early on that in this case, police investigating police was problematic. We already knew that, though.
We did know that. And I think also she had some issues with the judge. Like, the judge started making decisions. I did look up some other things. The mayor of Baltimore and also the previous prosecutor, neither one of them really supported what she was doing. They were saying also that they didn't really feel like she had enough evidence. But the fact that, and both of these are two Black women as well. So, I mean, maybe that is the case, but the fact that she decided to put herself aside and sacrifice to fight for this because deep down she knew that something was wrong here says a whole lot. And we're here for you, Marilyn.
We are here for you.
We're Team Marilyn.
We're caping for you, Marilyn. And I want to say that she still stands by the fact that Freddie Gray was murdered.
Yes,
and we all know that he did not murder himself. So
period.
There's that.
And whatever, she was also saying that because she pushed this case, they were able to get certain things enacted as far as the body cams, cameras in the vans, making sure that the police can say that they know the policies and department procedures or whatever, because I guess they were denying that they knew what you're supposed to do as a police officer.
Then why are you...
Do you mean? When you work for a government agency, you have to learn procedures, period. That's the whole thing. Government is all about procedures. But The police department of
Baltimore. Give us the tea, girl.
The police department also held a conference, and they had one of the DAs discuss, you know, their viewpoint, and they're going in on Miss Mosby. I call her Miss Mosby because I got respect, girl. Okay. He gets up there, and I just cannot take him serious. You want to know why?
Why?
Because he gets up there looking like Lucius Lyons' lawyer. Girl, I'm like, am I watching an episode of Empire? He has on this purple paisley tie with a purple blouse curly top. And I'm like, you know what? No. I can't even take you serious right now. So I'm going to stay on team Miss Mosby because you're playing with me. This is a joke.
I got time for that. Cookie Lyons done told you. Shoot.
Oh my gosh.
Did y'all hear about Bow Wow?
Girl.
Bow Wow. Like, he apparently isn't black.
He's mixed, so he's not concerned about civil rights issues, right?
He's not even biracial. Like, he has a black mom and a black dad, but okay.
I mean, in that case, damn, we all mixed.
Ooh, we are, but, you know. Anyway, Bow Wow. Are you still going by Bow Wow? Bow Wow.
Chad Moss, whatever.
How old are you, Bow Wow? Like, are you 30? I think that they're... Being black requires a certain level of political and social awareness. And you're lazy, quite frankly. You don't want to do the work. So instead of educating yourself on the issues, you cop out and say, I'm not black, so I don't have to deal with it.
Like, bruh, obviously you're not aware of Plessy versus Ferguson when they ruled that one drop of black blood means that you're black. You're blacker than black.
And you're blackity black, black.
Black, black.
Black.
Okay? And it's like, if you get pulled over by the cops, you can't be like, oh, excuse me, officer, I'm mixed. You got the wrong person. No, they're going to see your black and say, okay, get your ass on the floor.
Follow the
you like how
procedure.
I censored myself.
Yeah, I don't know if I... I mean, you might as well just say it. Bow Wow. Okay, look. I understand if you're not invested in the democratic process of the presidential election campaign whole bit. Because I'm not sure that I am either. But I am socially and politically intelligent. And I do exercise my right to vote. And even though my mama and my daddy are light-skinned black people, mm-hmm. I know that I'm black... And blackity. I'm proud. I'm blackity. I'm the blackest blackity black person ever. And I'm happy. I'm proud about that.
Yes, I rep it. I mean, because otherwise we're all mixed. We all got a Native American grandma. We all got a white grandpa. We all got Creole in our blood. Not everybody, obviously, but enough of us do to where we all could push for the mixed car, bruh. Stop it.
And you were black when you were little Bow Wow rapping with Snoop Dogg, trying to launch your career as a tiny toddler gangster rapper. I think that what you meant to do was disassociate yourself from that little thug rap mentality and settle into the whitewashed C-list celebrity that you actually are.
Damn, you just went in on him. But I don't even think that's what he was trying to do. I don't even feel like he was that educated to do that. I think is the first thing, he's ignorant and he's just lazy and he doesn't want to have an informed opinion. So he's just going to say, oh, I don't even care. It don't affect me. And I find a lot of people, a lot of celebrities these days are saying that they're not voting and they're not involved.
Nick Cannon also recently just said that.
And I'm like, I kind of feel like, okay, if you decide you don't want to vote, why you gotta say that out loud? Because we need to vote, you guys.
Point blank, period.
We need to vote. If voting didn't matter, they wouldn't be trying to still change the voting laws right now.
They're
still trying to change voting laws today.
They change voting laws according to how African Americans vote. They do a whole bunch of studies on how we vote, and then they change laws to make it harder for us to vote. If our votes didn't matter... Why would they
have to do that if they can just choose who they want? Again, is voting lesser of the two evils? Obviously, we didn't necessarily pick Hillary. We wanted Bernie. They were even calling his name at
the DNC.
I want
Michelle Obama or Jesse Williams.
Jesse
Williams is bae. Okay, so another thing that happened on Twitter this week that I'm not really sure I understand.
What?
Arthur the aardvark. Do you remember that PBS cartoon?
Was it on PBS?
It was a PBS cartoon.
Oh my gosh, how cute is that?
That I never even really watched. I saw the fist and recognized it. I saw all the memes, but I didn't understand how it happened.
Like, well, it started with the fist meme.
Yeah.
Like, it was Arthur's fist. And it's just funny that we all knew whose fist it was. But it started with his fist, and they were doing funny memes, and then it spread it. It's all over Instagram, too, now. And it's just anything Arthur-related, they have a meme to go with it now.
I think what is quite magical about Black Twitter in this instance is that it showcases our talent as far as being brilliant, prolific, comedic writers. Like, yes. This is hands down some of the best material I've ever come across.
I have to agree.
Like, we cover political issues, relationship issues, everything.
Sexual innuendos. Old school jams we used to listen to.
Like, everything is covered in these 1996 PBS cartoon about an aardvark named Arthur. who would have thunk? Black Twitter, you're talented. You're amazing. And I love you.
Somebody needs to pay y'all.
Pay all of us. Another thing that happens on Black Twitter this week.
Tell us, girl, what happened?
The hashtag. Black women did that.
Hey.
Because you know we did that, and we do that, and we still doing that.
So how did it start? Because I just woke up one morning, and I saw the tweet with FloJo, and it was her with her full set acrylics.
I woke up like this.
And I'm like, ooh, FloJo, I ain't seen you in a while. I felt inspired, but I didn't know what...
So apparently at the Democratic National Convention, there was some talk about Hillary Clinton breaking the glass ceiling.
Oh, I did see that video. It was kind of good, though. I was like, oh, go, Hillary.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool.
She ain't doing
I mean,
it, y'all.
You know, Michelle Obama for president, y'all. It was cool, but what it struck a chord in me was that okay, she didn't break it by herself.
Okay,
we've been doing this.
We've been chipping at the ceiling.
Okay, for years, and the hashtag Black Women Did That highlights it, celebrates us. It's a call for us to revel in our own accomplishments. And to say that we recognize you, we see you, we're aware of you for trailblazing and blazing the way, the path for us. And some of my favorites, one of my favorites was the one with Serena Williams.
Ooh, I love them girls.
What did it say? Anyway, two girls from Compton. Read it.
Two sisters from Compton dominate the tennis world. Hashtag...
Black women did that. Yes, we did. We're two sisters from Inglewood. They're two sisters from Compton. I feel like we doing
you
it, too.
You feel that, girl?
I feel it.
I like this one. Claudia Alexander directed NASA's Galileo mission to Jupiter. Hashtag Black women did that.
Okay. Another one of my favorites was Mary Jackson. She was... Did you just say this?
Did I know?
Oh, she was one of the first female engineers at NASA.
Oh, no, that's a different
one. That's a different one. Hashtag Black women did that.
One more. Shonda Rhimes is the first woman to create and executive produce a top 10 network series.
She got a bunch of them
she
now.
She got more than one.
She
How
got
about
more than
that?
One.
Hashtag Black women did that.
I got one more. I got one more. Henrietta Lacks. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but she's the woman whose cells were used without her permission to create an immortal cell line.
Wow.
Hashtag Black women did that.
Wow.
Amazing, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
If you haven't seen it, check it out because it was a lot.
I learned a lot. It's very educational, very empowering, and I encourage you to scroll through them, share them with your daughters,
your friends, your mama, your auntie,
everybody.
Yeah,
it's relevant. That is our show today. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Yes.
We will be back next week. I am your host, Angie Skates. You can find me on Twitter at Angie_Skates. Make sure you hashtag Black Twitter Talk. Hashtag BTT, at us to join the conversation.
Yes, and who are you, Kelly girl? Skates. You can find me at The Urban Gypsy LA.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio. Instagram me at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.